It's time for Ghost Talk, 90 minutes about everything paranormal. Our panel tonight features members of the Crossings Paranormal Research Team. Dr. Chuck Murphy, parapsychologist. Elizabeth Harbin, team leader and paranormal investigator. Jed Williams, tech manager. Lou Ann Morris, research expert. And Carrie Glazer, animal communicator and psychic medium. Now your host, Elizabeth Harbin.
Well, everyone, and welcome to Ghost Talk. I am team lead and investigator Elizabeth Harbin, and tonight I am joined by paranormalist and founder of the North Texas Paranormal Group, Crossings Paranormal Research, Dr. Chuck Murphy.
Oh, sorry. That was my cue. I'm sorry.
Now that's the wrong show.
That was actually
the sound we heard when we were doing Wednesday, Psychic Wednesday.
Yeah.
Really?
And it was getting kind of towards the end of the show. And we clicked on this number, and that's all we heard. I mean, some serious.
That's got to be sort of embarrassing, don't you think? Or is that telling us that we just put people on hold too long?
We put people to sleep, so they really need as much medication as they thought they did. So.
Got it.
But it was like we didn't wake him up either, or whoever. It sounded like a guy. You shouldn't assume. So anyway, we just kind of typed in a name that said, and we just went on to the next individual.
Right.
But anyway,
instead of smoking man, we have snoring man.
Yes, the snoring man. Yes,
snoring man. That sounds kind of scary.
It does. Well, also does. Joining us tonight is lead researcher, and I was going to say something else. I forgot what it was.
You're cutting out a bit on my end. I don't know if anybody else is hearing that. Maybe it's just me, but it seems like you're cutting out a bit.
I think it's me.
I don't know what you're going to call me.
I was going to say something. I thought it was important. Okay, and team equipment tech Ben Williams is at another location.
Hey there.
Ben. Okay.
Hey, it's my favorite tech.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I'm over here. COVID quarantine.
Somebody said
COVID quarantine.
Oh, do you have COVID or have you just been tested positive?
I do.
Oh, girl.
Yeah.
Let me get my mask. Just a minute. I'll be right back. where the hell did I put that thing? Oh, it's right here. There it is.
I sound a little nasally tonight.
Hi. Yeah. How are you doing? Can you hear me through my mask?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Oh, well, I hope you're feeling better, honey. That is horrible. Everybody I know that has gotten it has said nothing but bad things.
It's terrible.
So, yeah.
We will
that's
send you energy, healing energy and a really quick fix. I don't think that's
actually,
what I meant to say. Recovery.
We have an old country recipe that I'll send you. It's rye whiskey. It works like a champ. You're not really better, but you don't care. You know, I mean, that's the beauty of it.
I'll definitely give that a shot.
Well, you need more than a shot. It takes two or three, actually.
Yeah, a couple of days.
You're going to pour me some good old Macallan.
There you go.
Is that every day? Oh, it's morning, noon, and night.
Yeah.
Morning, noon, and night.
But I think you're supposed to take a three down.
Two shots in the morning, two shots at noon, and two shots before bed.
Right.
And then there's always two shots at 10 in case you forgot the morning, and two shots at 2 in case you forgot lunch.
Right.
And you can figure out where we go with dinner, so.
Exactly. Well, we also introduced tonight as well, we have our psychic medium and animal communicator, Carrie Glazer. Carrie,
hi,
welcome.
Hi.
So we want to remind our new listeners that if you miss our live podcast, you can catch up by going to Blog Talk On Demand, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Pandora, Audible.com, and our latest pickup I don't think that's the word I wanted to use either. But our latest location is called Reason FM. And I love their tagline. It says, "You're here. The reason you're here."
Oh, that's good.
I just think that's
like
brilliant.
That. Yeah.
So we're also on that. So what we would ask you to do is to like our page, follow us on Blog Talk Radio, and be sure and check us out on Facebook. If you have any questions pertaining to paranormal, please get in touch with Dr. Chuck at ghosttalk2020@gmail.com. If you would like to set up an investigation with the Crossings Paranormal Research Team, send your request to drchuckmurphy@gmail.com. That's drchuckmurphy@gmail.com. We're also on Instagram. Our name on there is Make It So Network Radio, but we are also on Twitter at Make It So Network. So be sure and follow us, like our pages and all the stuff, and all that good stuff. So anyway, so we were kind of worried tonight. We weren't quite sure what the weather was going to be like, but I think we're going to be okay. Anybody got any updates as to weather-wise and stuff?
I heard that it was supposed to get kind of rough around 2:30 or 3 in the morning for me. I'm in Denton, so I'm a little further west of you guys. I'll get it first.
Yeah, we're around 4:30 is what I was seeing on ours.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that would be about right.
Let me also throw out there something as well. Be sure to join Carrie, Luann, and myself for our premiere of our new daytime show. It's going to be called How You Meet Daytime Psychics. It's going to debut on Tuesday, 2/22/2022. And it's going to be at 1. And I just like freak out. Why aren't you doing it at 2 o'clock? Like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
And it's like it's 2 o'clock Eastern. So it really is 2 o'clock. So,
yeah. There was one on there that I saw post that I did. Why aren't you guys doing it at 2:22?
Yeah, well, they don't have it.
We will be on the air at
2:22.
Right. We'll recognize 2:22 when that happens. So anyway, be sure and get your questions ready. And this is for our group that is following us from the UK. Excuse me. We have a lot of followers from the UK that also like the show as well. So we're trying to accommodate their time frame. So we'll be on 1, and they should be able to hear us at 8 o'clock, right?
I think so. 7 or 8.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll have that. And our numbers are really increasing. We thank you all so much. Thank you for liking our pages. And thank you for following us. That really helps us out, especially on Blog Talk, but it really helps us out on Facebook. And don't forget, you can always find out what's going on when you go to Make It So Network on Facebook, and we will give a listing of everything that we're doing for all the shows. But don't forget, Ghost Talk has its own separate Facebook page where you can check out where we're at, where we're going, if we have if we're going to be doing ghosty things. If we're going to be out doing ghosty stuff, so you guys just be sure and check in, and maybe
1 p.m. Central Time.
Mm-hmm.
It's 7 p.m. London.
Perfect. That's exactly what we wanted. We wanted to be able to get them the time so that they call in. It wouldn't be too late for them, especially if they have to go to work. And we're just hoping that goes really well. So everybody in the UK, give us a call. All righty. So if that's where we're, like, no more questions or anything, Carrie, you want to say something?
Real quick, if you have not already done this, for the first 5 callers or listeners that send their email or P.O. box address to Make It So Network, we will send you a logo sticker or magnet. Just indicate which one you want. Please send your request to makeitsonetwork@gmail.com. That's makeitsonetwork@gmail.com.
You guys are cutting out. I just thought I'd throw that in there. So we're missing. I'm missing parts of it. It may just be me, but I'm missing parts of you.
Okay. We had this problem last time.
So we're cutting out for you too as well, Jen?
No, I can hear y'all pretty well. Only Elizabeth was cutting in and out.
Okay, we're getting feedback from you, Jen.
You're getting feedback.
From you.
Yeah. So work.
You know, you'd actually think we'd learn how to do this before we did it, but that's not us. We just go. Yeah.
What about now?
Okay, so it sounds really good. I hear it good.
It sounds good. And it could be, you know, we've had this problem since the weather. So I think it really depends on where they're routing us from Dallas. Sometimes they take us, throw us over to
Virginia.
Yeah, and they've also stationed us from Idaho and Iowa, and sometimes it goes back to New York. It just have a really, you know, kind of a problem because of the weather. We're all at the mercy of something pertaining to that, but that's what happens when you do stuff online. So.
Well, it's a miracle this works at all. I mean, you don't really think about it.
That's really no joke. If you only knew what was going on around here, you would go, oh my God, how does that even get on the air? So, yeah,
I had a client today complaining about the Zoom sort of stuttering, and I said, you know, just the fact that it's stuttering should be amazing to you.
Seriously,
that,
people.
I'm really, this is embarrassing, but it's absolutely the truth. I have a client in New Delhi, believe it or not, and he and I have the best connection of any connection I've ever had on Zoom. I mean, it's just flawless. And
yeah,
he's halfway around the world. Yeah, it was
that
so cool.
That is amazing. That is really amazing.
So,
well, Dr. Chuck, if it gets too bad, my suggestion is don't forget to always call in. Has it stopped?
No, it has stopped, yes.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, that means it's time for... That is music for world questions. That is just so amazing.
If that music doesn't say question, I don't know.
Absolutely. All right. So actually, seriously, people, we really do appreciate you sending in your questions, especially questions to Dr. Chuck. He's letting people know that they can actually call in and listen to responses, and you get the benefit of having five people answer your questions. So seriously, keep those questions coming. So the first question we have, let's see, unfortunately we do have to put our glasses on. Okay. So this individual writes, what superstitions are associated with a black cat?
That sounds like your question.
That
Carrie.
Sounds like an animal communication
question.
That's a Carrie Glazer question right off the bat.
Yeah, that's for sure.
The superstition that I found with the black cat is that they're evil. For holidays, you want to stay away from a black cat because they bring you bad luck. Okay, well, that's just not true. Okay, that actually. So I did a little digging around because I wanted to know where it started from. It actually started in Europe. I guess they have a lot of cats that would be like an feral cat, be outside in alleys, and the black cats, because their eyes have a tendency to be, you know, the bright green, they glow in the dark. And
right.
Cats are nocturnal animals, right? So they were saying that the black cat was evil. Stay away from it. And if a cat is walking a certain way, if it's walking towards you, you're safe. But if it's walking away from you, it means bad luck.
Joking.
I'm not. I was, because I've also heard as well, as a cat is black, can come to you on a certain day, like, okay, so Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from a black cat at all costs, because it's associated with glory, and it was associated with Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it all has all those things that people associated it with the bad, the cat. When in all reality, the black cat is actually very lucky. And when you see a black cat, it means that luck and future prosperity is coming your way.
Well, doesn't that just makes sense. Let's do ourselves prosperity, right?
Absolutely. So Black Cat is actually lucky.
Wow.
Wayne, you got anything to add to that?
Someone asked me this the other day concerning a black cat. Does that apply to a tuxedo black cat? Or is it just the cats that are completely black?
It was the cats that are completely black.
Ah, okay.
It's the Halloween. It's the spooky. It's the evilness of the black cat.
But it's really just kind of a glorified wives' tale that's hung on for centuries.
For centuries, and it started in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Friday the 13th being bad really doesn't affect us unless we're Templar Knights, if you really understand the meaning of Friday the 13th. So.
Right, yeah. And I don't think a lot of people do. My grandfather was absolutely terrified of black cats. So I don't know if this thing that he had a horrible experience or something when he was growing up. But I have actually been in the car with that man, and a black cat ran across our pathway, and we're driving down the street. He backed that truck up, and we went a different way. I mean, seriously.
Really?
Was that frightened of him. I mean, and it was real.
He was also superstitious of the 13th.
Just
Friday,
the whole
13th.
Thing, the whole idea that he knew that it was going to be Friday the 13th. He always made sure to, you know, planned ahead. So he made sure his bills were paid. He made sure he had enough. I mean, he did not step one foot outside the house.
Possibly he's a spirit that was a Templar Knight back in the day, and that's sort of a past life PTSD.
Oh, well, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me because he was a Mason, and not that he graduated up higher into that, but he was a pretty loyal. You know, his belief system on that. And we couldn't really ask him about, we couldn't ask him about questions. We knew he would always say he was going to his meeting. He was going to his meeting. And that's the only thing that we actually knew of. Of course, my grandmother knew he was going to his.
Masons. But,
my dad's
leaders, you know, they were members. So, I mean, we hear about the famous members of the Templars, but there were hundreds, there were thousands that were just members.
Yeah.
The church guys that did all the work.
And you know that they had a lot of connections through historical people. Like Santa Anna was part of the Masonic order, and it's rumored that him and I think it was Sam Houston had met before the Battle of the Alamo.
Well, the two astronauts that went to the Armstrong and what's his name, I can't think of it, I'm just drawing a blank, but the two astronauts that landed on the moon the first time, they conducted a small Masonic ceremony when they first landed.
That's so cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And Buzz Aldrin.
Buzz Aldrin,
that's who it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, they were both crazy.
Buzz, that name fits him. I have never, the older he gets, the more bizarre his information is. I mean, I was just listening to him just discuss that entire spectrum because there's more being revealed all the time. So, I mean, seriously. So that's amazing. Well, caller, I mean, I hope that helps you. I hope that gives you an idea. So basically, Carrie calls BS on the fact of it being something
superstitious.
There you go.
It was just someone that saw a cat in an alley. It was dark. Eyes were glowing.
It was
really,
a dog's eyes were glowing.
Yeah.
It spoke. I mean, other than that.
Because, you know, the rest of the stuff that I was reading, it was talking about how black cats are actually lucky and future prosperity. And
the ancient Egyptians actually singled them out as special cats because of all the things. Yeah, a black. If you notice, think of all the Egyptian symbols you see. It's usually a black cat. That was why they considered them like the pinnacle of spiritual god. Cats,
because weren't they gods or goddesses?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I had no idea.
Black
oh, they worship cats.
Well, I know
yes, they worship cats.
And recognize the fact that it was black.
Oh,
black cats.
And a lot of the things.
Of course they are black, aren't they?
They're
they
black.
Have black heads. Yeah, exactly.
They're black, yeah.
That's why.
Eyes
yeah.
are usually golden as if they glow in the dark.
And they're glowing, and yeah.
Exactly.
Of course.
Exactly.
Duh. Wait,
so when you really break this stuff down, it suddenly all of a sudden makes a whole lot of sense.
Total sense.
Know,
absolutely.
And you can see how it got off the tracks or where it got off the tracks.
Seriously. Well, anyway. All right. So thank you. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate all that. Okay. This is Shannon M, and the question is, what type of spirit can oppress other spirits? As a paranormal investigator, she finds a situation where a group of spirits are being held in a location by a darker entity. So the question is, what kind of spirit would this be, and why would they do this, Dr. Chuck?
Well,
Dr. Question.
Type of spirit is actually human, and the reason they do it is because they can elicit fear in another spirit, i.e. make them afraid. And we have to always remember that no one can override our free will. So if a spirit chooses and has the ability to cross, it could cross, but it could stay behind if it's fearful of the crossing or of leaving or getting out of the control of someone else. I'm watching for a particular course I'm taking, a whole documentary on Escobar, Pablo Escobar, and I watch the fear that he's imposed on so many of his loyal, as he calls them, followers. They're not really loyal. They're just terrified to crossing. And, you know, never forget, we are spirits currently inhabiting a physical body. We're not people that have spirits. We are spirits who have a body. And so when the body goes away, we're still spirits. And if you're a timid or passive spirit, or if you're easily won over by fear, then a spirit who sort of perpetuates that feeling in others could gain control over you. I don't know that it's quite like Stockholm Syndrome. That might be going a little far. But
right.
Certainly, the idea that there's some demonic spirit that's capturing human spirits and holding them hostage is Hollywood stuff. It's not real. I mean, at least in my experience, it's never been real. But it has been real that human spirits can do that. I mean, they do it in real life. They do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
There's a great movie that was sort of based on that called The Others with, what's her name, Kate?
Nicole Kidman?
Yes. And that kind of tells you, or that movie shows you without revealing the end, that what you believe becomes your reality. And maybe that is more intense when you're back to just spiritual existence. I don't know. It seems like it is, though. So, you know, her belief was these people were horrible spirits attacking her, when in fact it was not that at all.
Mm.
So how many of all of you guys have seen the movie?
I haven't. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never seen it in its entirety. So, I mean, I know a little bit about it.
I mean, I don't want to reveal, like, the best part of the movie, but...
I saw it.
Okay, well, so I'll just reveal it.
I think I was in high school.
Last 5 minutes of the movie, she realizes, because you look out the window with the spirits, supposedly she hears the spirits that have been attacking her, and she sees a moving van outside of the house that she's in, and you realize, oh my God, she's the spirit, not them.
Oh,
you know, it's like,
so it was,
oh
really
my God,
her.
After watching for an hour and a half, you just now figured that out. And so for those that have seen it, my question is, were those children really there? The children, you know, she's there because she murdered her children and they committed suicide. Okay, that's the reality that you realize at the end. So what my question is, and this is what our professor put to us when I was in my graduate studies, were the children really there, or were they just a figment of her imagination to justify her belief that she was okay, even though she had committed suicide, because she couldn't deal with the fact that she had killed herself after killing her own children? So she had to have the children there as part of the fantasy she was still trying to maintain.
She was the oppressing spirit.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's exactly what I'm talking about. If she had the children there, then she was the oppressive spirit. Or if she didn't really have them, then she was just the totally delusional spirit.
Wow. Well, of course, now I'm going to have to watch the movie. I can
decide.
I'll
tell you this. No. Don't go pee in the last 5 minutes, okay? Just hold it. You're going to miss the whole movie.
Pee before the last minute.
Take care of business beforehand.
There's a long around an hour. That's a good restroom break right there. But don't miss the last 5 minutes because that's where it all sort of – it's kind of like Sixth Sense if you saw that one.
It sort of comes together at the very end. And it hooked me from the very beginning, and I had no idea until the very end. It got me that bad. Seriously.
Yeah.
I had no clue.
I mean, that was the whole idea. You know, I was at the very end going, oh, my God, that's right. He never reached for the receipt. I never realized that. When he was having lunch with his wife or dinner or whatever it was, I forget. What was the question you asked? Is there oppressive spirits? Yes, there are. That's been my experience. But they're human, and they're just jerks. And if we weren't on radio that was publicly disseminated, I have other words.
Yes.
That take me back to my Marine Corps days I could use. These are oppressive people. But you have to realize that when a Pablo, and I just use that because I'm watching it, but when a Pablo Escobar lost physicality, his spirit was still loose. So he's still out there. You know, is he working his karma? Well, he could. My bet is he's probably not, but, you know, he could. But if he's not, then he's not somebody you really want to hook up with, spiritually speaking.
And it's kind of like how Elizabeth once told me. She said, just because somebody passes doesn't mean that their personality is going to change to somebody who's all happy, happy, joy, joy.
No, not at all. We got this beat into us in graduate school. You are what you are. You don't turn into a little chubby cherub with a harp singing how great thou art. You are who you were. You know, so if you were a nice person in life, then you're probably a pretty nice person in spirit. But if you were a jerk, and I definitely have other words, but let's just use jerk, that's who you are in spirit. Because, in fact, the reality is that's who you are. And that doesn't probably change magically.
Well, I'll share something with you pertaining to this. I worked a party. Luann and I worked a party on Saturday. And we were being asked to give some information pertaining to people that crossed over to the lady who was the host of this party. For the first time ever, I actually had to stand up and back up against the wall. So that I could kind of figure out what was going on. And there were multiple people who literally had the same kind of energy. The thing that was difficult to try to figure out was the one who was giving me those problems was the lady who owned the house previously and had died there. And what she was telling me is, this is mine. This is mine. Not only was the house hers, but it just, you know, blah, blah, blah. That was this lady who was the started the party. This was her mother-in-law.
No, stepmother.
It was her stepmother. And then her biological mother had the same kind of tendencies, but she's going, but no, that's my child. I actually physically had her. You can't claim her. She's mine. So we're having this battle between two different spirits claiming the same individual, having the same kind of reaction to, this is mine, you know, this is mine. And it was all about, it's mine, the house is mine, she's mine, blah, 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 all this stuff, to where it took almost 3 minutes to separate the two energy. I've never had that experience ever. Nothing like that whatsoever. To the point that when it was finally over, I was done. I mean, that was it. There was nothing left. But
right.
These two were still fighting over on the other side. They fought
exactly.
In real life. And they're still fighting.
Well, people that don't have a very strong, I mean, they may profess publicly they do, but don't really truly have a strong spiritual reality or understanding, let's put it that way. They have a difficult time letting go when they lose physicality. They're like,
mm-hmm.
This is my house. Hey, what do you mean I'm
yeah.
dead? I don't care if I'm dead or not. This is still my house. And boy, they'll fight tooth and nail sometimes. It's mind-boggling some of the things they do, and the ferocity with which they defend these physical properties, which they're no longer really able to enjoy. You know.
Well, let me get something else at you. The lady was trying to sell the house, the one that was here, the one that was
uh-huh.
holding the party. She was trying
right.
to sell the house, and nobody would buy it. Nobody would touch it. And I am totally convinced that it was because
excuse me. Yeah, we're all doing it.
Dang.
Well, it's because a lot of people, you know, I mean, you can call them realtors or prospective buyers, whatever, they just don't feel right when they, you know, see the house. They just go, you know, something just doesn't feel right to me. I mean, it's a nice
mm-hmm.
house. It looks pretty, but it just doesn't feel right. Well, that's what doesn't feel right. It kind of reminds me of a client I had last week who was a very, and I mean nothing judgmental. This is all observational, clinical observation, but very diminutive person, non-confrontational,
mm-hmm.
very passive, low self-esteem, very self-denigration oriented, probably borderline self-harm almost. And he lived alone with his mother. And he was like 47 years old when she passed, which, you know, I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying that's he never married. So anyway, he was going through, you know, his mom had been gone about 5 years, and he was still in this downward spiral emotionally. And it turns out it was his mother still ragging, if you will, on him.
Yep.
You know,
yep,
like,
absolutely.
Hey, you know, I may have lost my physicality, but I'm still going to tell you, you're a piece of crap. And you're, you know, that was a stupid thought. What did you do that for? Yes, yeah.
Exactly.
In the back of his head.
That's right. And who do you think you are? And
yeah,
I remember,
exactly.
I'm the mom. You're the child.
Exactly. And he still fed into it, just as though she was still physically here. Once he realized that, I think he started to become a little more empowered and was able to tell her, hey, Bob, you know, pack it and move on, leave me alone, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if he actually did it. I hope he did. But
well, it sounds like it was. And I think some of this, though, Dr. Chuck, just kind of go with me on this. Don't you think that some of that is our life lesson so that we would be stronger and not be a follower and be more of a self-empowered type individual?
You're literally taking the words out of my mouth. That's exactly what I told her. I said, can you see that your life lesson is to learn to stand up for yourself, that self-help and self-respect is not necessarily sinful, as you call it, that saying, hey, I'm worth something. You can't talk to me that way. I am somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, I'm a human being just like you. A little respect. You know, that's part of your lesson. That's what life is trying to say to you right now. That's what, if you don't want to think of God or you don't want to think of spirit guides or any of that, don't. Just think of what life is trying to tell you. Life is trying to say you don't have to be a doormat. You know, there's no such thing as a human doormat.
Right.
So, you know, whether it really stuck in, but it seemed like it did. You know how it is with clients. You never know. But
well, you hope that it does give them a perspective.
Yeah.
Sure.
I see a future suicidal person. That's what scares me with him. I can
see
where he
was. Well, I just started to say, sometimes what happens is once they realize they've always had the power, then they can sometimes feel defeated. But I really think you probably gave him the best advice possible. And just feel like he's going to be utilizing that thought process, because I've talked to clients before, and I mean, you're very serious about it. It's like, this is not a joke. You can do this. I mean, that's why you're here. That's why you're talking to me. That's why you're asking these questions. I've seen people turn around and go like, duh.
Yeah.
And I think of that. It's like, yeah.
I literally remember the conversation saying, wait a minute. I almost said his name. I'm sorry. I'm trying to, stay, anonymous.
Yes.
But I said, hey, you booked the session with me. I didn't do this.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you that, look, you've got to start taking care of you. It's okay. It's all right to take care of yourself. As a matter of fact, that's kind of what's expected of you. You need to take care of yourself. You need to be able to, you don't strike me as an overbearing, domineering kind of person. You just need to stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
And respect yourself. What's that old Aretha Franklin song?
R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
There you go. There you go.
Yes.
I never
absolutely
understood to take out the TCP, but that's okay. I don't think we need to get into that.
Okay.
The old disc jockey comes up. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I get it. All right. One more question, and then we've got to go on to our next little adventure. So this just struck me funny. I don't know why, but this one question I have laughed over since you sent it to us. And the question is from Tamara. And Tamara says, how do I meet a genuine medium?
How do you meet a genuine medium? Hi, Tamara,
yes.
I'm Chuck. How are you doing? This is Elizabeth.
I knew it.
This is Terry. This is Jennifer.
I'm
sorry.
I've been waiting on this. I read that question. I thought, you just let me ask that question. And the first thing I thought of was, it was like, hello, my name is Elizabeth Harbin. It's like me.
Hello, I'm Carrie Glazer.
Hello, I'm Lillian Morris.
I'd like to tell me to tell the
this
truth.
This is starting to sound like, what's my line? Wait a minute.
Truth or consequences.
You spend with someone that's not authentic.
It sounds like
and
it.
And it's like, how, I don't want to put words into her mouth, but maybe she's asking, how do I know if they're authentic?
That's even a better question.
Yeah.
That to me
and
would be the better question.
Don't you
question.
Think some of that relies or depends upon, how do you actually feel with that person? Are you comfortable? Do you feel,
yes.
Are you getting any feelings of sincerity? Do you feel like they're just kind of stonewalling or packing you? Do you, which is, I think the way I initially answered that question for her was, look, it's really based on you. Do you feel comfortable with this person? How do you know you've picked the right PCP? How do you know you've picked the right neurologist or whatever? Well, I like him. He and I seem to get along. Okay, well, then that's probably a starting spot, and you go from there. Are there crooks? Oh, dear God, yes. But
absolutely.
Are there sincere people that really are sincere and honest in what we do? Yeah. I thought about saying something like, well, if they offer you a, hey, if you don't like what I say, you get your money back or whatever. And I guess those are good, flags too. If a psychic isn't willing to refund the money if you don't like it, that's probably telling you something. What do y'all think?
Well, what about the fact that we try to give our clients as much validation as possible?
Well, I like that because that's my point. When I say to a client, how in God's name would I know you had an abortion when you were 16 if I really wasn't talking to your mom?
Seriously.
I mean, where am I going to get that from? Why would I even say that? I'm trying to keep my money that you sent me, so why would I say that unless I felt that was true?
Yeah, because you're not going to find it online.
No, it's not going to be in Google.
Absolutely. So, go ahead.
Yeah.
There's been a couple times where it happened to me at a fair a while ago. I was reading for someone, and sometimes the energies just don't connect. Like we were talking about, if it's not, if you're not feeling the connection, doesn't mean that we're not authentic. It means we're not the one for you. And I've stopped readings and said, you know what, I think you need, and I said this, you need to be with Elizabeth or Chuck because they've got this I have here. That's not something I've worked for with before or something like that, or, you know, but we, you know, a true authentic psychic will be willing to say, you know what, I just don't feel like we're connecting and that's okay.
It is
true.
And I think if you could use, like, because everybody's on some sort of organized medical care, if you could use the example of a PCP, your primary care physician, if you could say to them, so you went to this new PCP and the two of you just didn't mesh. You were just like, God, what a jerk. Well, then you got another, you picked a different PCP. Well, why? Because your personalities didn't match, which is what Carrie just said. I'm not saying I'm a bad medium. I'm just saying our energies are not locking up the way they should. Therefore, I think you should see her or him or whatever.
Right.
I think that's the best way to tell.
I think that's the definitive answer. I'm one of those who, when somebody wants to schedule time with me and this is their first time, I like to get very, like, short. I like for it to be about 30 minutes because I don't want them having to pay an outrageous amount of money if we're not going to connect, because I'm not just going to sit there and just on and on and on. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to myself. I mean, eventually it's not going to work. But if you like that person, of course, now I'm going through that phase where I, at one point in time, people were saying, well, I chose you because you remind me of my sister. And then I went through the phase, well, I chose you because you remind me of my mom. And now as well, I chose you because you reminded me of my grandmother. It's like getting worse. It's just getting, you know, the older I get, it's like, okay, if somebody says great grandmother, I'm done. Obviously, I need to stop this.
I totally agree. Somebody says, you remind me of my dad or my grandfather, I go, you know, and you remind me of somebody I need to refer.
you remind me of what I need to refer. Okay.
So I'm going to recuse myself. That's my big word. I'll just recuse myself from this reading and say, you know what? I don't think we're a fit.
Our energies really don't match. Oh my God.
Exactly.
It's about work. Yeah. It's about
work. That doesn't happen too often, but it does happen for sure.
Well, absolutely. And I also believe in karma, and I certainly don't want to go somewhere and ask a legitimate question of somebody and have that reaction myself.
Exactly.
So you want to make sure that you're throwing the best possible information can to that client. But if what's her name again? It was Tamara. If you're wanting to get in touch with any of us, be sure to send an email to ghosttalk2020@gmail.com and be sure and specify the reader, and we will get back in touch with you with time and availability. How about that for a lead in to
There you go.
All right. Well, I think it's time for another segment. I think it's time maybe for Jen. Hold on a second, and we'll find out.
I can't hear the robot for that. I tried.
I will. Apparently, I've gotten the samba music because that seems to be the music of the monster.
Yeah.
Hey, Jenchella, why don't you give us some
Hey, everybody. All right. So on our last episode, we had discussed the GS laser grid system, and tonight we're going to talk about the SLS camera. So something that we use out in the field is going to be the SLS camera. You can't find it on Ghost Stop, I believe, but you can find it on other locations on the internet if you just Google SLS camera ghost hunting. And the only ones that I've been able to find are from the UK. So, but, you know, it's going to take a little bit to get mine in that I had ordered. But, so what we have with the FLS camera is it's a three-piece system using a sonic sonar signal, and it measures temperature changes, has a light system that expands out into the designated field, and it has a video system. So what it does is it has a camera facing where those lights are, much similar to the digital grid that we discussed last time with how it reflects back on the screen, but this actually shows on a camera system. So it can actually say that I were standing in front of it, it would show my body, and then if it picks up or reads on energy, then it does attempt to map that energy in a stick-figure motion, typically, but it can differentiate between the individual standing there in front of the camera, and then it picks up on the energy that is potentially next to you, showing it as a stick figure. So the best example of these that you can see currently are on some of the Travel Channel, some of those episodes of Ghost Hunters and Paranormal Lockdown, and what are the other ones? Kindred Spirits.
Kindred Spirits.
Yeah, there's a ton of them. And the and even the Tennessee Wraith Chasers, which are currently my favorite right now. They're just too adorable.
Say a prayer.
Absolutely. Give the big bump to the man upstairs. Absolutely.
Yep. Just bump to the man upstairs. That's my favorite right now. But, yeah, so that's something that is probably the most recent equipment that is being utilized right now.
And, Jesse, do you understand I don't know. I'm not trying to interrupt your thought. I apologize.
Oh, no, it's okay. I needed a breath because let me tell you, COVID sucks the breath out of you. No pun intended.
No pun intended, of course. The actual nexus of the FLS camera is the Xbox 360 and the game called Wii. And as a matter of fact, the early cameras all had a sensor unit from an Xbox 360 as part of the initial. As a matter of fact, I think the one we have actually still has one. It says Xbox 360 on it. And what it is as you said, it senses temperature. It's an infrared grid, very similar to the grid system we talked about last month. And it creates a skeleton, as they call it in the technical terms, which is the stick figure you and I see. And then what the game would do is the game would then apply the avatar you chose in Wii to that skeleton. So when the skeleton moved, you would see the avatar you created, whatever it was, which is why you could play Wii and see like there was a person swinging the tennis racket, whatever, when you did. Okay, but what somebody finally figured out was, well, wait a minute, what if we take the game away and just use the sensor ability to sense electromagnetic field or infrared information in this case, to create the stick figure, because we know what a human looks like, as opposed to furniture or static, you know, pieces of, or objects, I guess you'd call it. And that's how the camera came about. Somebody actually took the sensor from an Xbox and attached it and came up with the software to display what the computer was seeing when you played Wii, but displayed it on the screen as a stick figure. So when there was an EMF, or a spirit present, it would pick that up in the infrared band and create the stick figure. That's why when you move the camera around, it'll say anomaly detected. That means something out of the ordinary. The camera, the infrared is seeing something. It's not sure what it is just yet, but it waits to see if it moves. Then if it starts to move and it resembles a human, it creates that stick figure or skeleton, which in the case of a game, that would then have the avatar applied over it.
Yeah, and you know what's funny about that is there's all these apps on iPhone and Android now that have these SLS cameras, you know, for ghost hunting. And I'm one of those people who purchased a couple because I was like, all right, let's see what you got here. I want to see if you're legit or if you're not.
Right.
So, of course, you know me, let's try it on my iPhone. I used one and I was like, oh, well, this is interesting. Well, then the slower I moved, I realized it started mapping furniture. So there is using that equipment. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Using that equipment, we do have to be careful to make sure that we're not allowing it to mislead during investigations. But exactly. They are trying to branch out by making it more accessible to the public to kind of get that information out, especially as more people are awakening to all these things.
There's
a higher interest in it.
The better cameras still use the Xbox because that's like Sony sort of nailed it when they, you know, for the Wii game. Of course, they were trying to make the game work. They were trying to see spirits. But supposedly the Xbox sensor, which is sort of, oh, it's a long rectangular-looking piece of equipment that comes off the bottom of the box. Matter of fact, I think that's what we have on our camera. That seems to be the better sensor than these newer, oh, well, we can make this better, you know. Okay, it tastes like butter. It is butter, but we can make it better. So it kind of gets, you know, loses something.
Oh, yeah.
You know how that goes.
Yeah, so those are really interesting. And, you know, it's what I found was whenever I was doing the research on it is that it's about 50-50 on the belief system with it. You've got half the people online going, oh, yeah, this is a crock of crap, right? And then you have the other half going, there is nothing else that I would use. So
well, there is
that
actual episode on Ghost Adventures. I think it's season 12. And, oh, God, I can't remember the episode. But it's at a prison that incarcerated mostly slaves. That's kind of all I can remember from the research I did. But what was so unique was they were using an SLS camera in the auditorium, and they knew that there was a prison band that would entertain the inmates. And all of a sudden on the camera, here's like seven people showing up on stage, and they say, well, y'all take a bow, and you see all seven bow. And they say, okay, everybody raise your left hand. And everybody's left hand goes up. They go, this guy's the guitarist. He's the trumpeter. He's the drummer. He's the dancer, singer. And so the guy that was showing up as a singer, they say, show us some of your cool moves or whatever. This guy starts dancing like crazy, the stick figure. All you have to do is search that on Ghost Adventures. Season 12, I know. I can't remember the episode.
I think it's the Viper one where they had River Phoenix. And then they had the girl dancing on the stage.
I think that's a separate one. Honestly, I kind of think it was separate because this was a whole band. This was like five or six guys. And they all responded as they said, raise your right hand, take a bow, do your dance, show us the guitar. And, you know, each of the individuals would do whatever it was they were just asking, like in real time. It was fascinating. They were all... Even the guys from Ghost Adventures, who I reserve my comments on, even the guys from Ghost Adventures were like, oh, my God, this is bizarre. Look at that.
See, now I'm going to have to go and binge watch all my Ghost Adventures episodes.
It's season 12.
Tomorrow.
That helps. And I'll try to do a little research real quick and see if I can find the actual episode for you.
Awesome.
For sure.
It's crazy, though. I mean, it's absolutely wild. And when you realize the fourth dimensional resonance baseline is the intermediate infrared band, which is why orbs show up, and we're not going to get into all that now. But that the Xbox reads the presence of EMF and energy in the infrared band. So it makes perfect sense that it's reading spirits who are still physically here, as opposed to those who have crossed. And, you know, there's logical scientific evidence for why we see them. It's, I guess I just kind of got off on a tangent. Sorry.
No, it makes sense, though. I mean, that's the reason we want to know about the equipment, because that goes right back to where we were talking about the combination of people either on the other side or over here to let you know that, yeah, there's stick figures that show up pertaining to that energy.
Well, they're stick figures in the sense that that's what the camera is seeing. That's what the infrared is.
Exactly.
Yeah, because that's what they're presenting. But are they really stick figures? No, they're the people they were. They're always the people who they were. Exactly, yeah.
Except for right now, that's the closest technology that we have to actually showing it.
Yes.
But that's just today. Now, tomorrow, it could be a full-blown apparition.
Figure what it was 5 years ago. That wasn't even there.
Oh, my God. That's a joke.
Same with spirit box, you know, and digital recorders. Same thing.
Yeah, well, we've gone from being infatuated with Pong, which is what we had in the 60s and the 70s,
you're making me feel really, really like I need to excuse myself and go to bed.
Sorry. Okay. Well, Gentilla, as always, thank you so much for that information. That was awesome. And now I think it's time for...
feel like I have to suddenly learn belly dancing.
I don't know. That
we know that's what you're doing, Dr. Chuck. We know that's what you're doing.
Okay. I think that would be a cue for Miss Lou Ann.
Can I interrupt? It's Ghost Adventures, Season 12, Episode 8.
Episode 8.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Noting it down.
All right.
Season 12, Episode 8.
Okay. I was giving information on a research that the Crossings Paranormal Research Group did 10 years ago. Chuck says, look up some information. Well, I found out they already had a researcher, so I was feeling kind of weird. But here's the deal.
Okay.
I did. Let me tell you a little bit about the space that they investigated. It was a therapy group in Farmers Branch.
Yeah.
They had children there so there was a toy. Some of them made sounds. Some of them didn't. They had 5, 6, 7, or 8 employees, I think. And all of the employees experienced some sort of paranormal experience. Mostly they were hearing laughter of children. Well, I think that the spirit children were attracted to the living children. That was my thought on the thing. And let's see, what was her first occurrence? She down the building. She heard children laughing. She walked into the room and the fire truck started making noise. One of those noisy little toys. She said she thought, huh. So she walked away, it stopped. She went back, it started again. There was no one there but her. So she said, it kind of creeped me out in the lift. So the three of the employees, then second turn, they heard footsteps and a child's voice came through there. They used walkie-talkies. This is 11,000 square foot area. So they used walkie-talkies to communicate with each other. And a child's voice came through the walkie-talkies. One day, the building was empty, and she was walking around, and she said she just felt heavy presence. So there's all kinds of things going on there that make you think something's not quite right. And I don't think they never saw any apparition. It was mostly footsteps, children laughing, and toys going off and on. So you find out that this area is in Farmers Branch, west of Jersey Lane. It's only 2.2 miles from Ohio Creek on Valley View Lane. When I did the research, and I have to tell you that I did research online. If we were actually going to go to the space, I would be going to the Historical Society in person to go through their information and their books and probably bending somewhere here. But that, I think, explains why information that Elizabeth told me later. So this area started out as a peace colony, which was a land grant made possible by the Republic of Texas in 1841. It went from 1841 to 1859. In 1853, the area was known as Mustang Branch, after the creek. That's what its name was at the time. And in 1845, the name was changed to Texas Land and Immigration Company. Peace Colony was originally in Louisville, Kentucky, and there was a big row about claiming their land, and they were unable to make their claims official. So they fired everybody, so to speak, and named themselves the Texan Land and Immigration Company, which this area then later became Farmers Branch. They named it after the fertile soil and farmers. The Texas Land and Immigration Company actually brought 2,205 families to the area.
From where?
All over the country. They also advertised in Europe.
You're joking.
So it made this area so attractive, like almost globally in the 1800s.
You mean they literally put advertising in Europe?
Yeah, in Europe to get people to come. So Farmers Branch is on I-55, State Highway 77, and was incorporated in 1946. So it has a rich history, and the creek is now called Rawhide Creek because in the 1800s there was a tanning yard, or tan yard, R.J. West Tan Yard, on the east of this creek. And they decided Rawhide Creek was a better name than Mustang Branch.
Hmm.
Wow. This is a branch of the Trinity River.
Farmers Branch.
Right. Now, the creek is only 6 miles long. So they had the tannery at one end.
Right.
And at the other end came the railroad station. The railroad came through the area in 1877, which also brought more people to Europe and the eastern and western United States.
Farmers Branch was actually a hub of where people would be brought to live.
Yes, because it also, not the Atchison.
Atchison, Topeka?
No, it was, I didn't write it down, sorry.
So this is where the immigrants would end up, in other words.
Correct.
Yeah. Huh.
So the problem in question is kind of in the middle, a little bit on the west side. I mean, as far as north, well, the river, the creek runs east and west.
Right.
So west end, so this would be south of the creek.
Which is where
nearer the east end where the train station is.
Right.
So I think that you would get more people visiting because the property is only 0.2 miles away from the creek. It's very, very near. People get, they had, some of the descriptions I read said that they had the tannery on one end and assorted businesses up and down the creek, like a blacksmith, a general
mercantile. Yeah.
And then the train station at the west end.
Right.
There was a lot of activity going on there. And of course, I was trying to tap into the energy I was feeling from there, and I was feeling like it was new energy, new spirits, not spirits from the 1800s.
Right.
And maybe attracted there because of the children. Because Elizabeth did tell me later that there were Indian raids in the area and barns burned down in the 1800s.
Yeah, they were burning barns and doing rampaging against the settlers over
and
there.
And that was because the Comanche were nomads, and they were everywhere, all over this part of Texas.
Right.
That's true, yeah.
Trying to maintain their land and their hunting.
Let me interrupt just for a second. Chuck, you know, when we went to investigate this location, one of the things we discovered was there was more activity on one side of the building than there was on the other.
Exactly. It was the one that was closer, as Luann is saying, to the actual creek itself.
Absolutely.
The part of the building that backed up to the creek.
Mm-hmm. And that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, when you realize we look out there now and we're seeing the dirt as it exists today in 2018, yeah. But that dirt, literally, in that creek has been there, since the beginning of time?
Since time immemorial?
Yeah,
well, seriously,
pretty much.
Because that's going back into the 1850s? 18...
Oh, yeah. And they first started settling there.
Right.
You know, exactly. 1841 is when the land was, so that's when the most people influx.
Right.
You haven't
there
even mentioned, like, the native Mexicans that were there. You know, we mentioned the settlers, but the other indigenous people that were there, everybody thought that was their property. Like, what are you doing building a barn on my land? What is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's where their minds were. Whether it was Native American or Native Mexican or, I guess, settlers. You know, I mean, they all thought it was theirs.
Crazy. So you had all... Yeah, you have all kinds of things coming from all different areas.
So then also you're telling us is that if people are going to be doing investigations, that they need to go not to Google.
Right,
no.
Because I went to the Texas land. I went to the appraiser district for Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I went to, which was really no help, which was surprising, because most appraisal districts are very helpful, and because we have online the previous owners, and there was no previous owner on there at all. So these kinds of things you really need to do hands-on. When
mm-hmm.
we did the Gainesville investigation,
mm-hmm.
we went to the Historical Society, and I spent at least 2 hours there, and I learned a lot of books, but I learned a tremendous amount from the ladies.
That's
a
joke.
While your research, I mean, we'll just be honest, Luann, is not always the most glamorous and certainly not the most like, wow, I can't wait to do that. I really think fundamentally speaking or foundationally speaking, it's the most important, because that's where we really discover what's been going on over the decades or centuries, even, in this case.
Well, absolutely. Well, I had no idea that they had advertised selling of land, like, what did you say, 600 acres?
Yes.
Per family.
Yes. And about 350 acres.
Oh, geez.
So
imagine if you lived in some place in England and you saw that ad. And you thought, well, for £50, I could buy 27 acres in this place called Tejas or Texas. And you come over here and you just claim 27 acres, and everybody else that's already been there is going, wait, that's my land. You can't just come in and buy that. And you're saying, well, wait a minute. I paid X amount of money for it. I've got my receipt. I mean, you can see where it just all went south really quick.
Right, because the Native Americans that were here came here before us.
Yeah.
And
we've been here forever. We've been here for generations. What do you mean you just bought it? Bought what?
Right.
Nothing's for
sale. They did not recognize deeds from the Native Americans. They didn't recognize anything that was of a purchase between white people and the land. They never saw that.
No, not
and
at
the
all.
Comanche were finally unfortunately pushed out of Texas, and now there's an actual live reservation now in Oklahoma.
It's where they're established. Most Indian tribes were pushed into Oklahoma, therefore it's a name before it was Indian Territory.
Yeah. The mm-hmm. Indian Territory.
Mm-hmm. I believe that Oklahoma is supposed to be somewhere. It seems like I remember that.
Well, that's where the Trail of Tears ended. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? Because it started over in Georgia and went through Alabama and Tennessee and then Louisiana, Texas, and on through. And then that's where they eventually, unfortunately, wound up going. Thank God for Oklahoma, though, because they embraced their culture. They embraced the Native Americans. But, I mean, golly.
I got a lot of this information from the Handbook of Texas. It is digital now. It's by the Texas Historical Association. It's actually 6 volumes that were written over years. So it's a very big resource. But still, you just have to go in person. There's so much that you don't get just by Google or going to the store. I went to every historic website talking about Native Americans, not one mention of Farmers Branch or Peter's Colony.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, they're considered very inconsequential parts of the Metroplex, I guess, is the term. But actually, they played a major role in the Metroplex's development, if you will.
Exactly, because of the development of the railroad coming through there.
Exactly.
Wow.
I think that's true with Plato and Frisco. There's all kinds of, you know, the, what is it, Highway 75 is the Chisholm Trail, is that right?
I know there's some out there that's the Chisholm Trail, but I thought that was
the Preston Road is also a trail. I thought that was the
there's a trail, but there's some statues out there, and I should know this because that's where I live.
Yeah,
and the trail actually goes in. They have the statues that go down in there on the and all that. And I cannot think right now of the name of that trail, but it's right there in Bitters, the trail. And it has little plaques and stuff that tell the story of that particular area and how it came through there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Where there were little types of
capital. There was a place in downtown Dallas known as Triangle Point. And that was a stop on the stagecoach route from Houston. And I believe that was the Chisholm Trail. I could be off, but I think that's right. That's where they would water the horses.
I forgot about the development of Methodist Church in that area. Was one of the first big churches called, wait for it, Webb's Chapel.
No way.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is what the street is
named. That's Webb Chapel.
Yeah.
Well, son of a gun. Well, all right. Luann. So very much for all that information, and that just goes to show you, please, if you're going to be doing investigations, don't just rely on Google. Do your homework. Like Chuck said, it's not a glorified job, but Luann does a great job at getting all that information, and we really appreciate it.
So it's vitally
important. It helps us get where we need to go. So we're going to take a break quick, and then when we come back, we're going to start answering questions from our callers. Hold on. We will be back in just a moment.
If you missed the first Holistic Psychic Fair at the Shambhala Wellness Center in Denton on New Year's Day, don't despair. You have another chance to experience some of the most talented readers in North Texas at their Spring Fair, Saturday, April 9th. All our readers sold out last time, so plan to pre-book your appointment at our next Holistic Psychic Fair, Saturday, April 9th, noon to 6 p.m. To pre-book your reading, just email Allison, that's Allyson, at ShambhalaWellness.com. Or you can call her at 940-380-8728. That's 940-380-8728. 480-8728. Shambhala Wellness Center is in the heart of Denton at 215 East University Drive. If you're interested in office or event space for lease, email Johanna. That's J-O-H-A-N-N-A at ShambhalaWellness.com. Shambhala is spelled S-H-A-M-B-H-A-L-A. Or you can call them at 943-380-8728. Shambhala Wellness Center, a place of peace, tranquility, and happiness. See you Saturday, April 9th or sooner. Cash only at the event, please.
This is psychic medium Carrie Glazer, and you're listening to Make It So Network.
Well, I got to tell you, that's one of my all-time favorites right there. That commercial right there. I just love it.
That's good.
So exciting.
That's good. No problem.
That is really, really good. So we really appreciate that, Carrie. Thank you so much. Well, all right. Well, we've got about 10 minutes here. We've got a caller on the line here. So let's see if we can get to this caller and answer the question. Let's see. Caller 7776, you are live and on the air with the entire group for Ghost Talk. What is your question? How may we help you tonight?
Hello, caller?
Caller, are you there?
No. I'm sorry. I just thought I'd throw that in. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, honestly, that has happened to us before. So, well, all right then. Well, has anybody else got anything? I think that's it for us. Don't forget to, I'm going to remind everybody that it is a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
The full moon is in Aquarius.
It's Leo full moon.
Leo. That's right. The Leo full moon. And they're in the sign of Aquarius. And the sign of Aquarius says, hey, look at me. Look what I did. But I had to have a team behind me to make it happen. And then Leo's going, hey, look at me. No, just look at me. Don't look at them. Look at me. So we're having this conflict about what should we do as a team? Who should we be connecting with? What kind of people should be hanging around with each other? One of the things that I found very interesting is the fact that Leo is the opposite of the spectrum when it comes to the chart for Aquarius. The energy of the Leo moon is creative self-expression and the boost to individual ego. Yes, what about me? Look at me. The Leo moon is proud and intensely individual and sometimes not contented with simply just being one of the team members. However, the Aquarius sun, while individualistic, and they are, they value independence, but they have a team mentality. The moon eliminates this conflict. So the full moon occurs almost exactly when Venus and Mars align, suggesting a creative, romantic, and yet dynamic element to our revelations. So remember that if you're having a little bit of a difficulty and you're trying to figure out what's going on, it feels like, I said this today, it felt like Mercury was in retrograde. It's because we're being pushed and pulled in both of these different directions, and we are being shown the true people, not necessarily right. What we want to see, but we are actually seeing it. So we can't
hear
the... We still have three. We could actually start feeling it a couple of days ago. That energy was so intense.
Well, it's because of the snow moon.
So that's it, snow
so
moon.
So it has a tendency to be more restless because what I'm reading here, because I love the name of the snow moon.
Yeah.
Winter is my favorite. But the snow moon is one of the restless, I'm going to take my glasses off so I can see. Snow Moon is one of restless, fretful energy, the cold winter air, and lack of sustenance during the long winter months, and invokes a hunger for change. So that's that restless feeling we're all starting to get, is we're ready for that change and for that shift.
And even from a political atmosphere, you can see that there is a major change starting to brew, as it were.
In other words,
there are so many different obstacles that or barriers that were up that are literally being brought down because of so many people going, maybe there is a better solution, maybe we can find a way. Maybe there's something that we can do that would be more beneficial to people, which is, it works with that Aquarian energy. We need to play the team. And then you have the few that does the Leo going, no, it's all about me. It has nothing to do with you. And so we're still having that conflict.
Right. I have a lot of clients that are saying, I feel like I'm at a crossroads or I'm stuck.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's exactly what this would present to a person is you feel stuck or at a crossroads or confused or I need to be doing something. I have no idea what it is. What am I supposed to do? Hello? You know?
And sometimes you're not supposed to be doing anything. You know, I think some people are so good at following their path that what they do is they get ahead of themselves and the universe isn't quite ready. And so what happens is they fall into what I kind of call that no man's land, where you're just simply waiting for this all to come together. And sometimes we do. We just head. We're waiting for the universe to get the people in place, or we're waiting for the job to come in. Hence, Carrie's husband, who actually has now found the perfect job. But, oh my God, it's taken several months for that to come into alignment, but it all took place during this full moon.
And with the company here originally had done an interview with, and they came back and said, well, we really liked you. We wanted you over here, but you fit in better over here, and made that happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he had another job that had came in that he, like, you know, I got a job, but just not really excited about it. So, and I've kind of gone through these past few weeks, this organizing, almost like doing spring cleaning.
Yeah.
Where I'm wanting to organize and get everything ready for whatever's coming after this moon.
Right.
And after this energy shift.
And that's part of this, full moon is to literally, it's getting you prepared for the new job. It's getting you prepared for new relationships. It's also getting you to go through, like, you're dumping your ex or you're getting ready to be engaged. I mean, it is like, it's either this or that. There's no gray.
This goes back to some of the stuff that we have had, some of the readings that we've done during Psychic Sunday and Psychic Wednesday on, you know, people asking when I'm going to get a job. And we kept saying the end of February, everything's just going to feel opening up and it's pushing through.
Yeah. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now. Everything is opening up and pushing through to some of us. I mean, there's still some of us who are still going, I'm still not sure what's supposed to be happening. Dr. you were talking about that with your clients. People are going, I don't know what to do. I'm doing something. So we know that other people are feeling and experience well. It's telling them, just hold on and get some time.
Well, it's sort of like a lot of people are just confused. I mean, you know, for us, it's pretty obvious what's going on. But for a lot of people out there, they think, I'm getting depressed or I'm missing some great spiritual side that's being shown. When you have to tell them, look, it's just a time to sit back and wait. It's all going to come together. Relax. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't feel that. Well, I'm sorry, but that's the reality.
And that's always easier said than not, right?
Yeah, it always, I've been feeling like, well, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
You know,
all of us. And then
I've heard so many people say, I'm doing all this, I'm meditating, I'm trying to be, you know, proactive, very blah, 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 and I don't feel squat. And I go, well,
You know?
Yeah.
I've been married 30 years, and I've had conversations with my wife where I felt we couldn't be more deeply connected if we tried. And then I've had conversations where it's like, are you even here? Hello?
Yeah.
You know? But that doesn't mean we don't love each other. We're not together. It just means the energy's off for a minute. Well, that's sort of what we're in right now, I think.
And that makes sense to me because I know she's an Aquarian and I know that you're Libra. And so with that Libra energy, we're it's just constant. We need to balance out. It needs to be equal.
Yeah.
There's
team,
you know, team play. And of course, with her being an Aquarian, it needs to be, we're doing this and I have to create it, but it's a team effort. And that's why that relationship works so well is because it is all about coming together as a team, as a unit, and not just a singular look what I can do.
Is she paying you? I just was curious. I'm sorry. I had to ask.
Oh, that's good.
Tell her Elizabeth says, hey, touching, thank you.
Yeah. Do I need to mail a check somewhere? What's going on? Here?
Well, tell her, you know, I appreciate every little bit of help. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Well, guys, another show is over. I cannot believe it. Another hour and a half has gone by just like that.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Miss Elizabeth.
You're absolutely right.
I need to do a shout out real quick for Luann's amazing throat spray. Miss Herbal Lou over there is a rock star right now. She literally is saving me tonight so I can join y'all via telephone. So,
thank you for pushing through.
Her throat spray is saving my throat from feeling like I swallowed a cactus right now.
I got
it.
Well, for an old Marine, let me just say, Semper Fi. You hug it there, baby.
Yes. Semper Fi.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Or as you say,
I just want to tell everybody, if you can get some.
Oh, that spray is amazing.
That spray is amazing.
Go-to.
I mean, seriously, it's incredible. It really is. Well, all right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And again, don't forget to join us on our new show that happens next week. It's going to be on Tuesday. It's the Daytime Psychic with Terry Glazer, Luann Morris, and myself. And it is going to start at 1 o'clock Central, 2 o'clock Eastern on 2/22/2022. So again, if you have any questions and you want to get in touch with Dr. Chuck, be sure and get in touch with him at ghosttalk2020@gmail.com. And we'll see you guys next month. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for joining us. Until we reconnect, stay healthy and hopeful. We realize that these are stressful times and we encourage you to seek professional connections if you or a loved one are having suicidal thoughts. Please go to the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 TALK or text HELLO to 741741, which is the crisis text line. Both are free, open 24/7, and they will respond. Good night.
This is Foxy Jackson of iSpeakFoxy.com. Are you in an abusive relationship and need help safely finding your path to freedom? Call 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. Or text the word SAFE to 88788. You may also chat with someone online 24/7 at www.thehotline.org. Be safe.
You're listening to Make It So Network on Blog Talk Radio.